I do want to make this mention. I meant to mention it earlier, but if you weren't able to make it Wednesday night to hear Brother Simpson, I want to encourage you either to get a CD or go back online and listen to that great message. It was a great blessing and a great help to God's people, and I got encouragement, great encouragement, and great help through the man of God. It's a sermon you might want to listen to again. And I'm glad we have access online. You know, they don't make vehicles anymore with CD players in them. I mean, that's crazy. But they said, put it all on this or that or the other. I don't have all this, that, and the other. I got CDs. But anyway, I'm learning. It's hard teaching old dog new tricks. But anyway, it's kind of mumbled in here today. Y'all, it's all right. You're saved. You're going to heaven. Yeah. Amen. Jesus loves you. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I guess your team won yesterday. Mine did, and I'm happy about it. All right, Matthew chapter number 5, please. Matthew chapter number 5. And I want to read one verse. Now, we understand Matthew 5 through about 7. We have the Sermon on the Mount. And the Sermon on the Mount is Christ has set them down and begins to teach, preach this sermon. I want to make mention, this is a sermon, this is a word for the people of God. Not one thing in this particular sermon. Now, Christ preached repentance. He led people to himself. But in this particular sermon, he never mentions about salvation or people getting saved. But he's talking to God's people as we get born again and things that we should have and have not in our lives that help us to grow. And so remember that while you're reading this. But I want to pull one verse, verse number 16. It's a very familiar verse. Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we do love you. And we're so thankful for the good singing this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the anointed singing, the message and song, how it encouraged our heart. Lord, we're thankful, Lord God, that we could fellowship and we could give back a portion that you blessed us with tithes and offering. Thank you, Father, for the health and strength to be here today. And Lord, I do pray for the many that are in our church that's in the hospital or sick, got surgeries, whatever. We pray you touch them today. And Lord, just have your willing way. Bless the families that are having to bury loved ones this week. Lord, give them grace, peace that passeth all understanding. But Lord, now we pray for the message. Father, I ask you in Jesus' name, Spirit of God, for Christ's sake, anoint thy servant today. Make preaching easy, Father. I can't do it unless you do it through me. I'm at your mercy, dear Lord. Illuminate my mind and my heart, and I pray for each one that's here. Touch every heart and life in the building. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Now, sometimes some verses in the Word of God get so familiar to us that we read them without thinking about what's being said. I mean, I know, you know, we'll quote verses and we know the words of the verse, but we don't take the time to understand it or actually notice what's being taught to us in the verse. Now, I want to use this verse and stay with this verse, Lord willing, and preach on this thought, people are watching. People are watching. Now, there's four things I want to notice by way of introduction, and we'll do our best to get into the message. Now, the first thing is this. You notice the verse, that they may see, you see it? Your good works. That verse indicates the very thing I just said, that people are watching us, that they may see. The Lord wants them to see what we're doing. So it indicates that people are watching. Now, secondly, we notice this verse, the Lord is concerned with what they see when they watch us. Amen. That verse teaches it, let your light so shine before men that they may see what? Your good works, not your bad habits. Not living carnal. He wants them to see, but he's concerned about what they see. Then thirdly, it indicates not only that, but it teaches us we should be concerned with what they see. We should be concerned with what people, we got the mentality, and it's the wrong mentality. It's carnal. I don't care what they think. That's not scriptural. The fourth thing it indicates, it's God's plan that they watch us. See, we say, hey, more nosy people. God wants people to watch us. Get that truth in your heart this morning. God wants people to watch you. And they are watching you. The verse holds true today. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, the greatest example of the text is Christ. His whole earthly ministry, when he began his earthly ministry about the age of 30, for those 3.5 years, all eyes was on him. And if you study, and I'm going to look at some verses. Y'all bear with me. The introduction may be a little long, but we'll get there. If you'll notice, there's three hearts of people that was watching him. And I believe it'll be true with us. Now, first of all, some watched Christ out of a heart of curiosity. They was curious about him. He's different. Luke chapter 4 verse 20 says this, and he closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. Listen to this. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. They were curious about him. He's different. There's something unique about him. There's something worth watching. Amen. There's something worth watching. And folks, there will be something worth watching in us. That some watched him with a heart of care. They were curious about him. Oh, what? And in other words, we wanna say this man, his life is different. But then, kind of downhill, some watched him out of the heart of curiosity. But now some watched him out of the heart of criticism. Now I've got these verses marked, and I've got three I want to read. Some watched him out of hearts of criticism. Luke 6, don't turn. Chapter number 7, listen to this. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. We go over, not only that, to the book of Luke, chapter number 14, verse number 1. And it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread, on the Sabbath day they watched him. And then we go to Luke chapter number 20, verse number 20. Bible says this, and they watched him and sent forth spies, which would feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, that so they might deliver him under the power and authority of the governor. So some watched him out of the heart of Christ. They wanted to find fault. Their whole agenda. Some were curious, not in a bad way. He was attracting himself to them, and they were drawing to him. But some was watching him with a heart of criticism. Folks, there's people watching you, watching me with a heart of criticism. Now, some going to criticize you for good reasons that maybe you're not being what you should among them, but some don't like who you are as a Christian, and they're going to try to find fault with you. If they've done it to Christ, they're going to do it to you. And then some watched him out of a heart of contempt. Preacher, what do you mean? Well, over in the book of Matthew, chapter number 27, verses 34 through 36. They gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. Now listen, and sitting down, they watched him there. They watched him at his lowest state. Christ's humanity. He was all God. We know that. But yet he was all man. And they tortured him. And they had contempt or hatred in their heart toward him. And they put him through all that. And they sit down and watched him. What? They wanted to see how he would react. They was watching him. They had been curious. They had all this criticism and that hatred. They put him to the cross. He's suffering. His humanity is suffering. He's in awful pain. Now we're going to sit here and watch you suffer and see who you are. The world, they'll see who you are. Not through your triumph, but through your trial. Because everybody shouts in a victory. Everybody praises God for the blessings, and we should. But when the Lord sees fit to allow the devil in part of the hedge to say, you can do this to him. You can do that to him. They're watching that. They're watching how you handle that.
That's right. Right.
Yeah. They're watching your reaction to the trial. That's what they're doing. They had a heart of contempt to Christ, and they done all that to him, and they sat down, and they're watching him. What's he going to say? What's he going to do now? And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So in these three aspects, people also are watching us with a heart of curiosity, with a heart of criticism, and with a heart of contempt. You got to realize people are watching you, and they want to see what you're going to do when the trials come, when the pain comes, when the heartache comes, when death comes to your family, when sickness comes to your family or yourself. When you lose your job. When because you lose your job, you have to file bankruptcy and lose your home. When your loved one dies, you have no life insurance and that bill's there. And they're watching to see how you act. They have contempt, and in their mind, this right here will show everybody just exactly how sorry they are. That's what they thought about Christ. Now we're going to see. The whole world's going to see right now this how fake that Jesus Christ is. Well, they didn't. And God, through the Spirit of God, lives within us. And he said, my grace is sufficient. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And you know what that means? He'll help us. Amen. While they're watching us with hearts of contempt, wanting us to fall, to prove to their buddies or to their group, they are fake. They're not real. Hey, let God work in us and let them see Christ.
Amen.
Let our light shine. Let our light shine. So, Jesus prepared the disciples to accept the reality that people are watching them and to use it for the furtherance of God's work. To use it, no matter why they're watching, to use it to further the gospel, to further the things of God, to draw men unto Christ. Folks, God has chosen in this dispensation of grace to use mankind, to use God's people as lights to proclaim Christ, to live Christ, to act Christ, to react Christ, so the lost and dying world will see. Notice three things. I'm finished. In this one verse, there is an obligation in this verse. He said, let your light so shine. That is not an optional statement. That is a requirement. That's an imperative statement. That is a statement that God's making to His people that, hey, here's what you do. Well, preacher, I'm not good with talking to people. And I'm not good at this, so that'll have. Hey, let your light shine. We all can do that. The light is Christ. In our daily living, folks, one of the hardest places, and you say amen to this. My daddy made this statement. He said, I don't think any preacher should have to work a public job and fight that all day. Because that's one of the hardest places. And I'm not saying preachers shouldn't work. Don't misunderstand. That's what my daddy said. Amen. Jesus didn't say it. Daddy said it. All right. Anybody okay with that? As a matter of fact, the place he worked at for 37 years, he said, you'll never work there. He said, because I'll lose my job in 2 weeks. I got to have my job. He said, the devil fights. On it. Hey, and people are watching. Every day we have to be prayed up. And remember, God has given me a commandment. We have an obligation. What? To let our light so shine. Even in those type of situations. Amen. We have an obligation. It's not a choice. It's an obligation. Preacher, what was the Lord trying to do? He was wanting the disciples to be influencers. Influence people toward the Lord. He said, I want you to be a godly, you're going to be an influence no matter if you're not trying, whether a good one or a bad one, you're going to be an influence. You're influencing somebody. The old saying goes, I don't know if it's true or not, but there's at least 7 unsaved people watching one saved person's life. If that be true, we have an obligation to be an influence. So my question today in this obligation, what kind of influence are you? A lot of folks in here work for the public. I work for the public. Work for the public. And you're going to do business with folks that are, you know, that aren't, say they're going to call you to serve them in whatever capacity you do it. And some of them are going to be good people and they're going to do right, but some of them is going to complain, gripe, mumble, not pay you. They'll come up with every angle they can come up with. I was behind somebody at McDonald's drive-thru the other day. And I'm thinking, what are they ordering? They ain't gonna be a Big Mac in the house. They just keep them. And then I got to hearing it was somebody negotiating with McDonald's. Trying to get stuff. Trying to figure out an angle so they can get an extra fry or something. And I almost said, hey, I got it, go on. But that would be a bad influence, wouldn't it? Even when you're starving and you're a fast food addict and somebody's in front of you negotiating with the poor woman on the other end of the speaker, what kind of influence we're going to be? We have an obligation. The Lord gave an obligation. He wanted the disciples to influence. Influence what? The light of Christ. And draw people. Remember, the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. The first ones called for Christ-like was those guys. And the Lord already gave them instruction to be influencers. The right kind. We have an obligation of that. Church, Christian, you have an obligation to be a right influencer. Who are you influencing? How are you influencing? Then notice secondly. Now the obligation, and then the onlookers. I didn't preach this, but we'll preach it again. There's onlookers. Let your light so shine before who? Who's these men talking about? Talking about the world. See, notice he didn't say let your light so shine at home where everybody knows you. And we ought to do that. Let your light so shine at church where everybody's just like you. And we should do that. But he said, I want your light to shine before men, before the world. The Lord sent them forth into the world. You see, those ignorant, unlearned disciples turned the world upside down, being right influencers. We can't even turn the community upside down for Christ. The Bible said they turned the world upside down. In a good way. So there's onlookers. Now the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 5, 14, 15. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that come in the house. We're the light of the world, so we're that house. We're that house. And the Lord said, I don't want that light hid. I want the people watching you, I want them to see it. In this particular text, he didn't say anything about talking yet or witnessing. He said, I want you to be lights. I want you to be lights. Preacher, how can I be lights in the world? Well, yesterday, went to a little league ball game, paid mine Kim's tab, and the guy gave me change back and gave me an extra $5. But boy, the young boy did. Give me an extra $5 bill. Well, that would have bought everything I bought for Paisley. Maybe. He wasn't aware of it. And I think when I walked off, he was still a little confused, but the woman beside him knew. I said, you give me $3 fives. You're only supposed to give me, it was $10 to get in, I gave him $20. Ain't that right? You get $10 back? He gave me $15 back. Now, I'm not bragging on myself. I'm just telling you, you think that's no big deal. That's what God's talking about. Amen. Those are the things God's talking about. It's not big. Just let your light shine. Don't hide it. Amen. Because the Lord wants the onlookers to see it clearly. You can't hide it on a hill, and he don't want you to cover it up. See, the way you conduct yourself in the world is about the light. It's about shining that light. The way you conduct yourself, the way you respond, the way you react, the way you do, it all is being seen. So we see the obligation. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 12, the Bible says this. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak evil against you as evildoers, that they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. They're going to behold. They're going to run you down like a dog. Hey, folks. Again, I'm not trying to make this, but I go to places in this town and I walk in restaurants and I see people that I know, they don't know I know, that has run me down like a dog. What do you do, preacher? Walk up and check their hand. And we all, that's everybody. There was a day in my life, I'd have gnarled at them. I'd have given them the cold shoulder. Well, you should have, preacher, you should have done. Hey, that gives them something else to go talk about me for. I'd rather go back and say, the audacity of Tommy Turner coming up and speaking to me. He knows I hate his guts. I'm funny that way. And a fellow I've known for years and years and years gave me the cold shoulder of the day. I said, hey! How you doing? And it stunned him. The response was, I'm doing good, sir. How are you? But, hey, known him for years. Same age. I'm sir. I told my wife, he called me sir. She said, that's respect. Don't. She was trying to wean it out. I said, I ain't going to show out. Stay calm. She stays on edge when I do stuff like that. The onlookers. When they hate you and they're criticizing you, just like the verse said, they speak evil of you like you're an evildoer. Among some, because our church is separate on some things. And we can't yoke with certain things because it's unscriptural. Oh, that preacher ain't for unity. I'm for unity as long as it's right. They want unity when they doing something. We've been here for almost 28 years. Ain't one of them birds ever come to revival here. To a youth meeting. Anything. But now you don't want unity if you don't come to my stuff. But now you got to understand, we can't come to yours. What do we do? Just keep letting the light shine. The onlookers, they're wanting a negative response. They want your light to dim. Don't let it. So we see the obligation of the onlookers. But then lastly, when I'm done, we see the outcome. Here's the Lord's whole plan and purpose for what He's obligating us to do. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father which is in heaven. He said, it ain't about them glorifying you. The whole reason I want your light to shine is that they see me. Amen. He ain't concerned about them seeing us. That's too much of that going on. And it's a thing of the flesh. I understand that. Oh, I want them to brag on me. That ain't the purpose for letting light shine. We let our light so shine that they may glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Now get this. That verse doesn't mean that they see Christ in us. They go to shout and praising God. The unsaved people don't understand that. But what God wants them to do is say, the Lord, the God of heaven is in them. There's something that the Lord's got in their mind, their heart. They know that it's not us, but it's God, and they see that, and they recognize that, and that's how they glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Amen. They're seeing. The Lord wants them to notice Him in us. Folks, we don't have to have certain standards and be hateful with them and be ugly with them. Look down our nose at people that don't have our standards. That ain't like letting light shine. Christ ate with sinners, but He never sinned. Now, I'm not telling you to go to the beer joint tomorrow and drink a Diet Coke. That ain't what I'm telling you. But his spirit toward them was right. And he never compromised where he stood for them. But he wasn't hateful. He wasn't pharisaical. Folks, it was a long time I got that backward. When I was in Bible college, it was a big thing. I mean, it was a lot of Phariseeism. And I'm matching standard for standard any day of the week. And I'm just saying that to make that point, not to brag. But I'm just telling you, we're not winning people with our arrogance and our mean spirit. You ain't going to win them that way. Christ ate with sinners and they were drawn to him. Not because he got involved in their sin, but because he loved them through their sin. He never compromised the truth. Never dropped the standard. He was holy the whole time. But his spirit was right. His spirit was right. And our spirit has to be right. And if they see Christ in us, they'll glorify our Father, which is in heaven. Because if they begin to glorify us, there'll come a day we'll let them down. But if they see Jesus, he'll never let them down. How's your light shining? How's your light shining? What's people seeing? The onlookers that are watching you, and they are. What do they see? The Lord wants them to watch you. He wants them to see your life and light. He wants them to. What do they see it? What do they see? Can they glorify our Father which is in heaven when they see you? Amen. Let's all stand. Come on, Miss Courtney. Heads are bowed.